learning Rav Kook's Hakdamah to Shabbos Haaretz with the Perish of Rav Avinir. On page 51, on the bottom, where it says, Shichur Mimeitzari HaTeva. Shichur Mimeitzari HaTeva. Rav Kook is entering into a deeper birur of the difference between Shemitah and Yovel. We began talking about that last Erev Shabbos. The Inyan, the Chiddush of Yovel, that it's not only repairing the present, it's not only illuminating the present moment, which is the B'china of Shabbos and Shemitah, but Yovel, Rav Kook says that Yovel has this ability, has this koach of reaching back into the past. Shovel Ishlach was also, Isha Mishpachto, that everything returns to how it once was. In other words, it's a tikkun Rav Kook calls for the, not only for the present, but for the doros. It reaches back in time and brings the avodim back to who they are really, and brings the land back to where it belongs. So this is something that is unique to Yovel. There's another component of Yovel that is different from Shemitah, which Rav Kook is going to gradually move into now, which is the Inyan of Bechira, of choice, which is a Chiddush also we'll see with Yovel. And with these, Rav Kook explains the differences in Halacha, that we spoke about this a little bit last week, that we see that when it comes to Shemitah, there's a din of Shemitah's Ksofim, which relieves the person in the present tense from the burden of debts, v'chule. We don't have that by Yovel. There's no din of Shemitah's Ksofim. There's no din by Yovel, davke of Shemitah's Ksofim, but the Shemitah's Karka, that the land returns to the original owner. And Rav Kook explains in Pnimius what the chilik is between these two. And ultimately that whereas Shemitah is something which is uniquely designed for the tikkun of Am Yisrael, Yovel is something that makes a greater impact upon all of mankind, upon the entire world. So we're going to learn more about this, to understand this on a deeper level. So let's begin on the bottom of page 51, the Lashon of Rav Kook. And some of you have this English translation. It's not perfect, but it's certainly much better than anything I could do. So we'll try to follow along a little bit with the English. Seder HaChayim Shal Shnas HaShemitah. The Seder of Life during Shemitah. So Rav Avinir says, Seder HaChayim Shabu Ein Hakpada Al Rechush HaProti. This Seder of life of the Shemitah, when everybody lets go of their own personal ownership of their property, not the ownership, but the produce that belongs to them, while Totzeres HaYevul Shoshanazu, what they produced. So Rav Kook says, Hu al pi ha-chefetz ha-pnimi ha-tivi. It's actually connected to what we're learning this morning in Chassidus. He says, once every 7 years, Rav Kook is explaining, once every 7 years, the Jewish people are forced to return to their true nature, to their true teva. During the 6 years of the cycle, we get fablanjit, and we become people who are not living are not living up to the true character of who we are. Just like during the week, we're inconsistent with the people we are, and Shabbos is the opportunity, is the time to come back to that Teva Yisrael. So too, during the 6 years, with all of the competition and all that commerce and business brings out in people, and that fierce war to succeed, and Ishus Re'eu Chaim below, that swallowing up each other during the 6 years, when it comes to Shemitah, so Rav Kook says, "Al pi achefes apnimi ativi," that there is this return to the inner desire for goodness and justice. Chukas hatoyv hatzedek, hashivyon v'hamnucha, equality and tranquility, shivyon, and menucha. Shaha hakara elokis utshukasa matbia bekerav ha'uma. Life during Shemitah is guided by the natural inner desire for goodness and justice, equality and calm, tranquility, which Hashem has planted within the nation. And we were talking about it a little bit this morning that we oftentimes are not behaving this way. These are beautiful words, very beautiful words, but we're often not behaving this way. I was thinking, you know, it's interesting how in Parshas Bechukosai, in the Parsha here in Chutzlaritz, or in Bechukosai, so you have at the end, very strange, it's hard for us to relate to this, the whole sugi of Erechin, that people are evaluated. It's something, it's strange to us, we're modern people, and the whole concept of putting a number on a person, it triggers a lot of negative feelings in people. And to understand it be'omek what that means, Erechecha, and we have Al Masechta, what that means, the union of Erechin. But what is interesting, just one nakuda regarding this point of shivyon that Shemitah brings, that equality. This equality, where there is this equalization. It happens with us. It's something that happens. If you walk into a shul and you could have on one table, you could have somebody that's a big gevir, and you could have right next to him, he's a poor person, and they count two in the minyan. And they're friends, they get along in shul. But then outside of shul, it's two different worlds. So when you come to shul, hopefully, there's a little bit of a Shabbos, there's a little bit of a Shemitah, even during the week, because there's a shivyon, there's an equalization that takes place, because sof kol sof, we're standing before the Borei Olam, and there's that awareness, that avadayim, that we're avdei Hashem. But in the world of Erechin, in that world, in Chukasai, that you see that there's a certain erech, that a distinction that's made between an older person and a younger person, a man and a woman, based upon the usual expectations of work and productivity and so on, that there's a price tag, so to speak, for these people. But it's very counterintuitive, because generally one would say, listen, I know somebody that's 65, and he produces more than this guy that's 35. I know a woman that she works much harder than the guys in the office, and she gets much more done. And then you have the same thing. You have a kid that's 12 years old and he's a gevaldik, and you can have some 40-year-old that he's not accomplishing. And yet the Torah has this like across the board, this Indian of Erechin. It's right. It's odd, if you think about it. But if you try to get past some of that initial resistance to the whole concept of being marich, a person in dollars and in shkolim, the fact that the Torah doesn't make any distinction that it's a man, a woman, and a child, and it's across the board, this is the mahalach, and not that this one can produce 10 times more than the other one. It is something that is, on some level, bringing us to this place of shivyon, of equality. If not equality, man, and the expectation that a man produces a certain amount, and that a woman, because of her the restrictions, or either because of the conditions of life, whatever it might be, is not as much in the workplace traditionally as the man, but it's not making a distinction based upon productivity. It's making a distinction based upon adult male, adult women, children, without going into trying to fix more particular price tags based upon this individual as opposed to that individual, which would seem to be, on the one hand, would seem to be fair. It's more fair to evaluate each person individually. And in Ruchnis, of course, that's how we live with each individual. But there is something that's about the about this whole halach of Erechin that sort of brings to this shivyon between people. That even though this person might be a huge Talmud Chacham, and he's a tzaddik, and he's sitting in Beis Medrash and whatever, teaching for 70 years, But in terms of halacha, he doesn't have a higher price than the farmer that's sitting next to him in shul. Doesn't have a higher price. And it's an interesting inyan, even though it's hard for us to understand this whole sugya. And there's what to talk about. And over the years, I have spoken about it in different times, different shiurim. But bichlal, there's this inyan of shivyon. Shemitah is this great equalizer. Shemitah is this time of, Rav Kook says, deep inside of the Jewish people, there is this tshuka, there is this natural longing to be good. But during the 6 years, there's so much going on just to try to survive, as we've been learning, that we behave in ways that are out of character, and the wealthy person looks down upon the poor person. Or the poor person is angry or jealous of the wealthier person, and so on. Vashivyon v'hamenucha. But during Shemitah, there is this time that the Torah forces us to come to a place of shivyon, of equality, which mimela brings to a menucha, a certain feeling of tranquility, a certain feeling of calm and shalom. Shaha hakara elokis uchukasa Madbia bekerav ha'uma, which Hashem has planted this within the nation. So those are the words of Rav Kook. Let's take a little bit of a look at what Rav Hanania says. Zohar seder hativi shaloma Yisrael. This is the natural seder of the Jews. When Mashiach will come, it'll be Yom Shekula Shabbos Nuch. It'll be all the time. It'll be Shemitah. It'll be more. It'll be Yovel. Mitz Hashem to reach. A different kufis nimas Mashiach, really Yovel something. We're not going into right now. There are different times in Yimas Mashiach, but there will be this outpouring of the true nature of Yisrael, which during Galus we don't see during the 6 days of the week, during the 6 years of Shemitah. So I say that tivi shel umah Yisraelis kishem shahamitzvus hein teva prat. Just like the most natural thing for a Jew is to put on tefillin, even though he might not feel that. The most natural thing for us is to keep Shabbos and to keep mitzvahs, although we may not feel that, but that's the teva. That's the teva. Kach gam oyer hachayim b'shnas ha-shmita, ha-menuhal al-pi ha-tzedek v'ha-shivyon. So Shemitah, the halachas of Shemitah, ideally create this opportunity for that teva, for the true teva to emerge. Hu teva ha-uma, Gibore koach osei devaru. So the pasuk is in Tehillim. Gibore koach, powerful giborim, powerful, heroic, strong people, who are osei devaru, who live according to Hashem's will. And Chazal tell us that is referring to all people who are trying to defeat the Yetzer Hara, but in particular, Chazal tells us it's referring to Shomrei Shviyas, to the Jews who are strong and have such emuna and conviction that despite everything that their second teva is telling them, during Shemitah they ascend to that true teva, and they overcome. And there are amazing stories of people who I've heard about people who are not even Shomrei Mitzvahs. They're generally not religious, and they don't observe mitzvahs, but who own in Eretz Yisrael, who are farmers, and they're able to connect to this mitzvah of Shemitah and to return to that teva Yisrael, and these are gibori koach that are osei devaru, the giborim. Chazal compare them to the malachi Asharis, who said nasev that the Jew that when we Gemara Shabbos that when we said nasev and nishma, so by Har Sinai. So, Migila Razu, who revealed to them, who revealed to the Jewish people this sod, this secret of the angels, that they live in this mahalach of Nasa, v'oisei devaru, unquestioning obedience to Hashem, complete synchronization with God's will. That's a malach. So when we came to Har Sinai, we were on this madrega of Nasa v'nishma, whatever Hashem wants. So Chazal bring this pasuk and tell him. And Chazal say these are the Shomrei Shviyas, the Jews that keep Shemitah. So there's something unique about this mitzvah. I spoke a little bit about last Shabbos. by Bahar. There's something unique about this mitzvah that's kolator kula. That's why it says Bahar Sinai, Ma'inin Shemitah Yisrael Sinai. There's all of Yiddishkeit, this emuna of the Gibori Kayach when it comes to Shemitah, that taiva to succeed and to get ahead, and for people to be able to say, even though that teva is pulling very strongly at me to compete and to make more money, it's very, very powerful, that teva. V'chalzos, that somehow this gibor is able to come and to enter into that deepest teva, the true teva, which is the teva of a Jew, which is toiv and tzedek and shivyon and menucha, all of those good things that Shemitah and Shabbos and Yovel represent. Mashbisem kol avaydas karka. Again, as people who are very far removed from avodas karka, it's hard for us to relate to this. It's not the way we were raised here, and it's not part of our experience for most of us, avodas karka. Mafkirim tvoasam v'yevulam. To be mafkir, once all of one's the field and the produce. With this tremendous gevura, the gevura here, the strength and the courage we're talking about is of ipuk, of holding back, like Yosef Etzadi. Lis apik, ipuk means to overcome one's nature. That's what it means, ipuk. So Rav Avinir explains, imkach lechayr hateva shalonu, next page, huteva egoisti. If we're to understand what Rav Kook is saying, so it means that lechayra, the natural teva of a person is to be very, very much focused on himself, the ego. Or b'neatzivu he'eloki, if we're talking about gvura, it means that my own ego tells me to wipe this guy out, and to make the most money that I can. That's what the ego tells the person. But there, what could I do? I would like personally to continue and work during Shemitah. And there are many, many people who feel that I would love to work on Shabbos because Shabbos is the best day of the week as far as Parnassus is concerned. So I would love to continue. But there's a tzivui eloki that the Rabbi Shalom tells the person, no, you can't. And it seems... It seems offhand that that tzivui eloki, that commandment from Hashem, is at odds with the teva of a person, and therefore the person has to engage in this malacha of ipuk, this apek. In other words, I'm chalishing to do this, but I'm not going to do this. Efshi, in other words, I could do this. The police are not going to stop me, but I believe in Hashem. And the tachlis is, even though I would like to do this, I'm going to overcome that teva that I have. I'm not going to say, I can't do this. I'm going to say, no, I could do this. Like the famous Maisa with the Kedusha Slavi, where Erev Pesach, he was sending somebody, he sent some Jew, but he knows the story. He sent some Jew to go to get some chametz, to get some schnapps, to get some chametz. It was about the Zman, to go find. And this Jew went looking all over the place. He didn't know what the Bedicha was, but the Rebbe told him. So he went looking all over the place. He couldn't find any chametz already. It was shashishis, you know. He couldn't get any chametz anywhere. And he came back to the Bedicha, and he said, Rebbe, he said, I can't, even by the regular chevra, the shikarim, I can't. Even by the drinkers, I can't get a bottle of schnapps. I can't get anything from any. So Kedusha Levi, that's what he wanted, right? Kedusha Levi wanted this to be a limus chus. And he said, well, there's not one policeman, right? There's no army. There's nobody that's forcing Jews to get rid of their chametz. And even the biggest shikar mebadichev, you can't get a bottle of schnapps on this shikar, right? And without a police, without anybody, just the Baruch Shalom said, thousands of years ago, the Baruch Shalom said, you can't have this. And from that, there's such a koyach. Mashayna Kane. By the Umas Olam, they have to have police, and they have to have officers, and with that, there's a black market, and the stuff is still being sold against the chok, against the law. So Bidisha Kedarko made a big limud schus by Erev Pesach. So it sounds like that I have this teva, but I believe in Hashem. My teva is telling me to have the bottle of schnapps, or to work on Shabbos, chalila, but that's the teva. And then there's this artificial external voice of God that says, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That's what it sounds like. And we often hear the voice coming in such a way. It's the Musa Svam that Tzaddikim say, Rabbi Yochim used to say, and other Tzaddikim, that, and I've mentioned many times over the years, that when it comes to a taiva, the person usually doesn't hear it in the first, he usually hears it not in the first, but the third person. For instance, when it comes, let's say, it's very, very early and you're tired and it's early in the morning and it's the only, you're someplace where there's only one minion in town. It's not like you're in Bar Park and you can just go daven someplace at 10:30, right? You're someplace where there's only, the only place you can daven is at 6 o'clock in the morning. So the way that you hear the voice inside of your head is that you really should get up and daven. But ki'ilu, it's somebody else talking to you, that you should get up and daven. But there's another voice that says, but I am really tired. It's not like another voice that says, you know what, you're really tired. The other voice says, you really should daven. But the more intimate, personal voice is saying to you, I'm tired. The impersonal, outside voice is saying, you know, you really should go to shul. And Rabbi Yochim said this, that's the way that the teva of a person works. What is teva rishon is beguf rishon. What's teva rishon, the first teva, you speak of with the word I. Because that word I means, this is me. So I am tired. The teva sheni, there's something else that's artificial that is making certain demands of you, and that speaks in already a language that's not noichach, it speaks in a language that's trying to, it's already distancing, you're already getting distance. It's a, he wants me to do that. He wants me. Not that I want to do that. So we might think, the simple pshat is, I would want to do this aveir. I want to do this. I want to work on Shabbos. I want to work on Shemitah. And in order to stop the work on Shabbos or Shemitah, especially Shemitah, in order to stop that, I have to overcome that I, and I have to move this to another level and overcome and fight against that taiva. That's what it looks like, and mostly that's how we're taught, and that's how we're raised, to fight against the Yetzer. And of course that's true. But that's true really only in Chitzonius. It's not true in Pnimius. It's not true in Pnimius. All of that's Chitzonius. That's what we were talking about this morning a little bit. All that is Chitzonius. There's no other way to explain how is it possible, like I mentioned last week, we were talking about that a little bit from the Tanya and Yuches and Yutes. How is it possible that a person who is not Shomer Mitzvos his whole life, and then he's given a choice to be Avodah Zarah or not, that he's able to rise to the occasion. There's no shaykhus to it. Doesn't his voice say to him, you have no interest in religion anyway? So why is he saying, kill me, I'm not gonna convert? Why is he saying such a thing? How did that change from first person, second person? What happened? So only in Chitzonius is the Yetzer Hara the first person and the Yetzer HaTov the second person or third person. You can make a fourth or fifth. only in Chitzonius. In Pnimius, when you get to the Pnimius of a Jew, where the Chelek HaKamimal is, the Nefesh HaLakis is alive and breathing and strong, in that place, it's Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem. That Ani of a Jew is Hashem. National Commissioner says, yes, I'm Hashem, yes, I'm Lulukim. Ani Hashem. I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I revealed to you the most astonishing thing of all, that the Ani of a Jew is Hashem. That's what Rav Kook says. Not here. Nor is HaKadosh. Ani Hashem. That the Ani is Hashem. The I of a Jew, not the chitzonius that I. I want to sleep. I don't want to go to shul. I want to work on Shabbos. I want to work on Shemitah. I want to eat this thing that's not 100% kosher, whatever it is. I want to look at this thing that's not nice. So even though stam, a person feels like that's first person, and that's who I am, but that's only chitzonius. In pnimius, ani Hashem akem asher tesi shem yisrael mislechem look ani Hashem. The ani of a Jew is Hashem. But we're not often enough in contact with that ani Hashem. When it's some kind of a thing that's happening, they're telling the Jew, you're going to convert. We're telling you that you have to convert or we're going to kill you. So, like the Tanya says, that all of the pretenses are all of a sudden shaken and everything falls down and he's brought to that place of ani Hashem, which is what the Rambam says in Hilchos Gerishim, famous Rambam, which we'll talk about in a second. That's the ani Hashem. So there's the chitzonius of the Tavi Yisrael, and there's the pnimius. Rav Avinir is explaining, in chitzonius, everything is determined by my ego. And my ego says to make more money. And my ego says to knock down my competition and to destroy and to make more and to work. That's what my ego is saying. And then the gevura comes, this giburka comes and says to you, atatzurich letapek, hey, stop that. You got to hold yourself back. It's not nice. It's not good. And for your information, God tells you you can't do it. And if you're going to do it, you're going to be in big trouble. That's the simple chitzonius de kipshat. Onum is gabrim. Lit gaber. Ezo giba kairis is yitzo. Liz gaber. His gabris. Mitiv einu. Onu oiv de adama. This farmer, by his tafa, is a hardworking guy, and he works the land, and he is not the kind of a person that likes to sit b'chibuk yadayim, which doesn't like to sit and do nothing. He's a farmer. That's what he does. That's what he loves doing, and that's his whole life is to be out there working early in the morning, and to sit b'chibuk yadayim. And to look at a sefer or to read or to relax or whatever it is to sit and to schmooze with some people for this farmer, he's sitting there at 7 o'clock in the morning and he feels like already half the day is gone. So, in that teva chitzoni, in the chitzonius of the person, the farmer has to be misapek. He has to hold himself back to run out to the field and work. His whole teva is to be out there working. So the farmer conquers. He overcomes that teva of going to work. Because the Baruch Shalom said you can't. Okay, so that's like the B'ditchua story. It's beautiful. And he's heroic because he's overcoming that teva of going to work. So there's the gvura. That's gvura. According to this simple chitzonius dikurai, which is generally the way that we were always taught just growing up, Shemitah stands in opposition to who you are. The way we were all raised in school, maybe you had different, but the way we were raised in school is this big thing with the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov, right? There's the good part, the bad part. And there's this horrible, disgusting part of you. And we have to try to strengthen that better, that good part of you, that the good part of you should win. And that's the milchama of Tov and Ra, and of the Eitz Hara and the Eitz HaTov. That's the milchama. But the general feeling that we were raised with is that if I were allowed to do what I really wanted to do, I wouldn't keep a lot of this stuff. I wouldn't keep this stuff. Like I told the demise that I had many, many years ago, where there was a bacha that I was very close to, and he found out that his mother's conversion, he didn't know that his mother was a convert bechlal, and the mother confessed to him that she was converted, and it turns out that the conversion was not according to halacha. But kids, so the boy found out that he was not Jewish, and he was a guy that was learning already in yeshiva for quite some time, and he found out that he's not Jewish. So, of course, he's going to have a geirus, right? And I contacted him. At that time, Rabbi David Feinstein, and to arrange that there would be a geirus, And it was a whole, obviously, a very, very shocking and emotional thing. Without going through any of that turbulence that he had to go through to hear this and to find out this news, which was a very, very big sugya in his life. But we were having this conversation about, and I was making the arrangements, and he said to me, because I said, you know, you want to go out? He said, yeah, what do you mean? He's in the middle of a Tosfos and Bavah Kamma. What am I going to do with this? I got to finish Tosfos, right? So then we were talking. I remember where we were sitting exactly, where on Main Street in Queens, in the car. And he said to me, so, because the Bezdin could not meet until the following afternoon. And I said, to make it as fast as possible, they were making it very fast. We were going to have to go to the east side, and it was going to be the next day. So he said to me, so Rabbi, so right now I'm not Jewish. So he said, I had that like look in his eyes, you know, like a healthy, you know, 19-year-old guy. So right now I'm not Jewish. So I said, well, officially for like the next 24 hours, that's what it looks like. You're not Jewish. So he said, oh, I got to think about that. So I said, well, you could think about it with me together in Farakwe because you're staying with me for the next 24 hours, which he did. He said, you're not going anywhere. You're sleeping by us and you're staying with me. And that's what he did the whole time. He said, you're not going anywhere. I really wanted to put like a gate around the house. I was nervous. He was going to try to climb. He didn't. But you're not going anywhere. What was that like? All of a sudden, like you get a day off. A day off. You get a day off. When you think about it, all right, so, and no repercussions. No repercussions. He's not going to go against any of the Shevet Mitzvahs. You know? Free at last, thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. No repercussions. So I still talk to him about that mindset. He made good choices, Baruch Hashem. He married well. He's still making great choices. But there is that way that we were raised, that if I could, I would. So why don't I? Because I'm one of Hashem's Gibori Koch, Kol Kavod. I'm one of Hashem's heroic Giborim, and I fight against the Yetzirah. And, you know, when we were kids, we had, like, the Olamenu, and, you know, with muscles, and you have a gun to shoot the Yetzirah. It was like, that's how we, and that was it. It was the war, and it was a good day because I didn't give in to my nature. So that's our entire education. In Chitzonius, that's true. And therefore, one always has to have Yiras HaOnesh, and one always has to refer back to that. When push comes to shove, you have to have that in your arsenal. There's no question. You still have to have that cartoon from Olamenu, and you got to be strong. There's no question. But that's the whole thing. As per, you know, filters and internet, and what are we going to do when the whole world is destroyed by the internet, and every single wall in Yerushalayim is plastered with all the latest, you know, strong words. That's true, and you have to be careful, and you have to fight. But in Pnimius, as I've discussed very often here over the years, in Pnimius, it's very pathetic, that mahalach. It's very, very pathetic. It's a very pathetic mahalach. Imagine a husband and wife, right? And they're married, and they're happy, and they say they love each other. And he, before he leaves to work in the morning, he says, honey, give me a bracha. What is it? What can I do? Give me a bracha, he says to his wife, that, You know, in the office there's some attractive women. Can you give me a bracha? I shouldn't be nechshol. It's like he asks his wife for a bracha that he shouldn't be nechshol in the office. Maybe he should ask a rabbi or something like that, not to ask his wife. If you ask your wife, I need help that I shouldn't be nechshol. So that's a huge insult to her. Because I thought you're so in love with me that you don't have eyes for anybody else. You're asking me for a bracha that you shouldn't be nechshol? You mean you're interested in somebody else, not just me? So the Baruch Shalom Kivyach is the same. So it's the same. Mavdil, well, the Havdalist, you could be Mavdil. But It's very pathetic that we have to have all of these safeguards and mishmeres, the mishmeres, the mishmeres, the mishmeres, mishmeres, sneers, nevad had sneers. And, you know, I was in Yerushalayim a couple of months ago. You have, like, we were walking, we were staying in Gula, and you have, like, all the time walking, there was, like, this father with three of his sons that was walking with a megaphone. And they were making announcements about the women dressing properly. But I can't, it's hard for me to, unless you saw this, they seem completely detached from the announcement. I don't know how to describe it. My wife pointed out that actually one of the sons was actually making, there was a girl that he was watching while he was making the announcement. My wife said to me, no, here's the, he's walking, he says, Benot Yisrael. And they're just reciting this thing up and down the street by Malchi Yisrael, going up and down, with him and his two sons, and they're carrying a sign. They're carrying the Hafganot are usually later in the day. This is still early. And he's carrying a sign. You know? It's just that that's what we do. We were taught that there's only one way to win, and it's war. And even if you're not particularly good at it, but you still hold up the sign and the megaphone while the kid's looking at some girl. He's got his megaphone with his dad. They have like this chorus. I don't know if it's the same. I just saw this guy like 10 times up and down with his kids. I don't know whether or not in yeshiva, but anyway, they're up and down the street. These boys, they were not old boys. They were just young. I don't know. But anyway, I guess they're doing something to help the Jewish people. So they're trying on their own level. They believe in that, and I'm sure that they're very wonderful. But it's pathetic. This is all not that. This is all the chitzonius. And again, I'm not saying that you don't have to have like you don't have to have like some chaver like this in the world. And there need to be reminders. There need to be some signs. And we need to have that in our lives. We need to have, you know, rallies and anti internet and the filters. And there needs to be a consciousness. There needs to be an awareness. Of Alkolze, all of that, that whole world of Ani Chayav Lit Apek, I have to hold myself back from jumping on this in the cave in this street. That's pathetic. Because the true teva of a Jew, when he's able to reach that place inside of him that's called Ani Hashem, it doesn't require gevura. Ze pashut. Lo bishvili. It's not for me. And parents are having a hard time raising kids that feel that way nowadays, because especially if you're just giving over, that's why the whole Indian, like I've mentioned so many times, that you have to make sure, especially if you live in certain neighborhoods, and it's just, but here too, you have to make sure that my kid never sees a chiloni. God forbid, in our building, if there's somebody that's not religious, who knows what's going to happen to my kid? Who knows? Even if he just says good morning to a chiloni, it might draw him into the... It might draw him away from Yiddishkeit. Ad kedei kach is that this ha'alama, this disappearance of Ani Hashem, a certain pride and a certain strength that a Jew has when he's in his teva. Not that it's every single thing is a fight, is a fight, is a fight. Again, I'm not saying you don't have to fight. I'm repeating that a lot. Yiras Einish and Pashtus and old-fashioned Judaism, I believe 1,000%. However, that's not the Inyan of Mashiach. And that's not the Inyan of a tzaddik, of a Bala Vaida. That the wife has this, he has to ask his wife for bracha. Please think of me and daven for me that I shouldn't be nichshol, my secretary. It's very hard for me. It's very hard for me. I thought that you love me. I thought that you don't think about anybody else. That's what the women don't understand. Like, why are men nichshol so much with their phones? And the women don't get it. And there's nothing that hurts them as much as that. The women are, any woman that has had that horrible revelation to see something on her husband's computer, on the husband's phone, which I always think the men just want to get caught somehow. They just, otherwise, like, how do they leave it like that? They're constantly getting caught. So I think that's the limud zchus on the men, that they want to get caught. They don't want to live like that. But all the time to get these calls about, you know, the woman, I can tell in the voice when I get a phone call like that, I need to talk to you, it's urgent, can I come see you? And what is it? I can't talk. So then, I found something. So then there's the rabbinical speech about how, you know, men have this inyan, and it's hard for women to understand this inyan. And then you try to make it more sophisticated. You put in the Chazal or something. The Sfasem is, you tell a story about the Bedeit Shavu, you know. And you try to make it into a nice package and hope that somehow she's not going to say, we're going to Bezdin, right? I'm finished with you. She's not going to say that. And that they'll go to therapy and she'll cooperate with him and she'll try to get help with him and to work on their marriage. That's what you're hoping for. But at the end of the day, when she's by herself and her eyes are closed and the tears are coming down, there's one thought that she has. And it doesn't, and it's not Shulchan Aruch. It's not, how can my husband go against Shulchan Aruch? It's not, how can my husband, I thought he's religious, how could he go against God? That's not the thought that she has. The thought is, I am so hurt by that. I can't believe it. I thought that he loved me. And when you tell the woman, no, he does love you, however, there's this inyan. They don't, the women don't get it. I sure know that. Our women don't get that. They don't get that. They don't understand that. And so you say that it's kashela litape, kashe. Your husband's a good guy. He really loves you. But he's, you know, you're here in the home of the kids, and you're sitting, it's beautiful, you have children, you're saying brachas with them, and your husband's in some office in Manhattan, and you know what he has to go through. You know what he has to struggle with there in the office. Okay, these are all diburim. But the wife that sees that and her husband is so personally wounded. So if you use that as a mashal, just as a mashal, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, he tells us, we're his warriors, we fight against the Yetzirah. But the Baruch Shalom that gave Yiddishkeit, it should be in such a way of Drachecha Darchei Noam. Hashem is Baruch on a deep level, didn't ask us all to be such boxers and such wrestlers and such fighters. And the Baruch Shalom created us in such a way that Yiddishkeit should be, we should feel that Yiddishkeit is the teva of who we are. And that's within the Neimus. And that he gave us Yiddishkeit, not like the woman that says, and I'm going to give a knock, I'm always knocking the men, but the woman, that when it comes to 3-day Yontif, I think Shavuos is coming up, Baruch Hashem. We have Shabbos in 2 days, that you have like women rolling their eyes. How could God do this to us? How could God do this to us? How could he give us 3 days? Does God know what this feels like for me to have to make so many meals and be a slave over here? What has God done that he's given us Shabbos together with 2 days Yontif? At least if I'd be in Eretz Yisrael, I'd have 1 day, and here I got 2 days, and how could Hashem do this to us? That you feel that you have to overcome your teva and smile and say, oh, good yontif. When really you're thinking, this is horrible. I haven't taken a shower. In a couple of days. How could God force us not to take showers? What kind of religion is this anyway that you can't take a shower for 3 days? It's all chitzonius. So that's what he's explaining. Look inside. So there is this teva, chitzonius teva, that says to the farmer, you want to run out to the field, but you can't. You can't hold yourself back from the field. That's the Yetzirah. Don't do it. Put down your shovel. You can't do it. Which seems to say that Shemitah is against our Teva. It's against my nature, and I have to be a Gibor in order to keep Shemitah. But then it has that shtim with what Rav Kook is saying over here. Rav Kook says that by Shemitah we come back to our nature. Those are his words. Life during the Shemitah is guided by the natural inner desire for goodness and justice, equality and calm, which Hashem has planted within the nation. So that does not, that means that you don't have to be a Gibor. It means that, finally I can be myself. Baruch Hashem. Finally I'm able to live the way that I want to live. To sit and to learn, and to relax a little bit, and to be calm, and I don't have to run out to the... That was, the world is not really my true nature, the world is my second nature. My true nature is Elokus. My two natures are Elokus. Just like in the Chabad Sforim, that's we're taught that we look at the world and we say that this is a world that's created Yesh Me Ayin, something from nothing. But in Pnimius, this is Ayin from Yesh. You understand the difference? Think about it. In Chitzonius, this is the world, this world comes, yesh, was created from what? This is yesh me'ayin. We have something, and this comes from when there was, before there was nothing. It was only Hashem. So, creation is yesh me'ayin. But the Alter Rebbe said that, no, in Panemius, and someone said, we'll explain it more, that in Panemius, we're living in a state of ayin me'yesh. We're living in a state that this is nothing that comes from everything. So the person that leaves shul and says, now I'm going into the real world, so the Baal Tanya that says, no, you're entering into the place that's called ayin. Welcome to the twilight zone. It's called ayin. What's yesh? Yesh is when you're sitting in davening. That's yesh. Ayin is the world. That's in Panemius. So that's exactly what we're talking about. In Chitzayin is yesh me'ayin. And therefore, my teva says that I how can I sit here and not go out and work in the field? And then I have to overcome that, and I have to somehow muster up enough strength calling out to that world of ayin, may ayin yovo ezri, that ayin should come help me. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't see. And I should not go out to the farm, to the field. That's all chitzonius. Elachein ha'tevah shalanu hu ha'shifa l'shivyon v'tzedek l'toiv. Ha'tevah shalanu hu l'shibayis m'mlocha v'lasik b'torah. What Rav Kook is saying is that the true teva, on Shemitah, we come back to the real teva, to the teva ha'pnimi. The teva ha'pnimi says, you don't have to be a gibor to keep Shemitah. That's true, they are giborim, but that's only in teva sheni. But in true teva of a Jew, you have to be a gibor to work, not to work at Shemitah. That requires gvura. Listen, we're not malachi Hashem. We're regular people. But you and I already don't feel that it requires gvura for us to have Shabbos tonight. Do you feel you have to be a gibor to keep Shabbos? No. A couple hours from now, we're going to feel, it's a mechaya. We're going to feel it's a mechaya. We might not feel that by a lot of other misses. But most of us feel it when it comes to Shabbos. Unless you have some guy who's in the middle of some billion-dollar deal in his office in Manhattan, and all of a sudden he looks at the clock and it says, oh, it's 5:30 and it's the last train or something before Shabbos, then he's like a gibori koach. But otherwise, Shabbos already, you don't feel like you have, most of us don't feel Shabbos that you have to overcome what you and I are going to feel like something that at 7 o'clock, oh, you gewalt. No, we're going to feel it's terrific. Baruch Hashem, free. Because we've already come to that place of Shabbos, where Shabbos, on many levels and for many reasons, not of them all from Kedusha, but on many levels, we're already in a place that's more pnimi. But when it comes to other things, when you're still hearing it as a voice outside of yourself, so then it's much, much, much harder. So it requires more gevurah. So if he says, "Hagevurah she'aleha dibru chazal, einenu kfiya seder elokei latava." Shemitah is not Hashem imposing His will on us that now we can't work. Shemitah on a deep level means Hashem is now allowing us to come to our Teva. He's facilitating a return to ourselves. And it's like that with all of Yiddishkeit. How do you hear a mitzvah? Do you hear it in the first person or the third person? Do you hear that voice inside of yourself saying, this is not you? But you hear yourself inside saying, no, I would love to do this, but there's a voice outside that says, don't do it. That's the difference. They're two different, totally different people. They both might live the same way, but they're totally different people. The first guy who hears the voice of Hashem in a way of what? Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. The I of who I am is Hashem. Elokus. He's filled with gratitude and thankfulness. He feels that I, Shabbos, Shemitah, finally, I can return to myself. I lost myself during the week. I was crazy. I was like fighting with that guy at work, and I was arguing with my wife, and I lost myself, and doing things that are so out of character. Because why? Ani Hashem. And Shabbos means I'm resetting to that mitzvah that's called Ani Hashem. Then you have the other person for whom, you know, you can't do this on Shabbos. Shabbos is more of an interruption to the program. It's an interruption. It's something which is interrupting my program. That if I could, I would. So with Shabbos, I don't feel that so much. I don't want to use other examples that aren't so nice. But that if I could, I would. Like the Bach that found out that he's not Jewish. So he didn't only find out that he's not Jewish, he found out that the Ani is not Hashem. The Ani is something else, not Hashem. The Ani Hashem speaks to you in the first person. This is who I am, this is what I want with my life. Not that you need to get to shul now. I want to go to shul. And that's what happens. You're talking to the kid, and you're saying, and you're telling the kid, you got to get to shul. And he doesn't, he's not at a place in his life where he feels, I want to go to shul. And that's where all the fighting goes on. The kid doesn't want to go to shul. The kid doesn't want to daven. And then you prop him up and you put him in a certain place and say, start doing things. You know, what do you do? Do like this and da da da. Like I do. And do that. And the kid feels that this whole thing is connected to his teva. His teva is to run and to have a good time and to be himself. And coming to shul, it's not myself. It's not myself. You're asking me to be somebody else. It's not myself. This is the milchama. The yetzar yetzatov, that's a chitzaniyistik milchama. To train, you know. But the pneumistic milchama is at some point this kid grows up, and then the question becomes, do you really want this? Well, you do want it. Well, you don't want it. So there are many, many people who are officially Orthodox, but they don't really want it. They're just doing it because they have it. You know, so that's why it comes in, coming late for shul, or coming, you know, leaving early, talking the whole time by davening. Kiddush clubs, they don't, listen. It's all, the feeling is that being in shul, talking to Hashem is unnatural. My teva is to have kiddush and to talk. Davening is unnatural. It's unnatural. This is the tzara of galus. This is galus. That's shchinta begalusa. That you don't feel the ani Hashem. Hashem is someplace else, not inside of you. And therefore you always hear Hashem coming like Paro l'Avdil, telling you, do this, do this, do this, do that. You don't feel the voice of Hashem is ani Hashem. I am Hashem. It's something outside of you that's telling you to do something that's out of character. So on a deeper level, Rav Kook is talking about the pnimiyas. Of course, Rav Kook is not disagreeing that in chitzaniyas, you have to be a gibur, lit apek, and you have to fight against the teva of running out and working and so on. But Rav Kook is addressing the deeper part of who we are. And he's saying the Shemitah is the return to the teva Yisrael. Teva Yisrael. That's the return to teva Yisrael. And that comes with tremendous simcha and the calm, the shalva that comes with being the person that I really want to be. Because that's the only time that a person is at peace. When he's really living according to what he wants to be. He's not living out of character. Shemitah frees a person from the external, those external voices, the external pressure of this world, which is Be'emes and Pnimis. This world is Ayin. It's all a Lakus. This, we're living in a place that's Ayin, and the Baruch Shalom is Yesh. But we feel it. It seems to us that this is Yesh, and Hashem is Ayin. But that's not true. That's not true. Pnimis is not true. All of our problems come from forgetting that. That this is really Ayin Miyesh, not Yesh Miyayin. And we just settle into that Chitzanius, which is the way that we were taught, because as children, it's too sophisticated to think that way, and we usually, just like many of the things that we got that we were, when we were kids, we just don't outgrow it. So we don't outgrow this whole thing, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, and there's this big war going on, and you just barely got out by the skin of your teeth. You were able to survive the Yetzer Hara and all the Diburim and all the shyness of books and Svarim and speeches and the things that go, the kind of talks that are being, the people are subjected to, and hearing all these drushes and they go in places, whatever, I don't know, crazy things, all kinds of extreme things, because they're worried that I'm talking to an animal, and because I know, because I was an animal, and I'm talking to another animal. I'm now a little bit older, I'm not such an animal like I used to be, but in front of me in the classroom, they're all chais and behemoths. When I was a kid, they used to tell us, Beferish, you're a behemoth. Now they just say, how are you today? How are you today, Avi? So good to see you. Chaya, babe. Our babe didn't hold back. They just said, you're chaya. So the teacher is getting up in front of a classroom. And this teacher is talking to chayas and behemoths. That's how he was taught. You're a chaya, you're a behemoth. So the only thing you can do with a chaya and behemoth is to put on a na'ol and to hold a stick or a whip and get the club. And that's it. That's all. How do you train an animal? That's the chinuch, training an animal. And the way you train an animal is you hold on, make sure, you know, if this bacher is going to ever be someplace out of his stable, if he's not in his stable, he's going to cause tremendous damage. He's going to destroy himself and destroy others. So you can't allow him to see somebody that's not religious or to ever be in the presence of a nekeva. It's going to destroy him. And we understand that fear. But it's for behemoths, it's for chayas. It's not for a Yisrael. It's not for a Yid. It's all a bedevil. It's not l'chachila. L'chachila was chabach medem. What do I have? What is it? I'm being pulled by this. I'm being pulled by this. This, you know, lest he go to the street in that neighborhood and there's something by the bus stop and there's a billboard and there's a girl that's not dressed or there's a picture of a girl that's not dressed. So then you can't ever let your kid go into that neighborhood because there's a sign with a girl that's not dressed nice. Okay, but that's not l'chachila. That's not the way the Baruch Shalom, that's not what he had in mind by Hasina, that we should live like that our whole lives. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is to be a real gibor yikach. And a gibor means not fighting against my teva, to uncover my teva. And my teva of Ani Hashem has no interest in such a thing to look at. So what do I have with that? What's the name of it? My inyan shmita es lasina. That's the inyan shmita es lasina. My inyan shmita es lasina. What do I have with that in inyan? What, when you're walking in the street someplace in Manhattan and there's a church over there, or in Central Avenue there's a big church over there. You're walking over there and you feel atatzirich lehitapek. Please Hashem, help me not to walk into this church. It's Sunday morning. Who knows what could happen to me? Anybody ever have such an Indian? I don't know. Anybody ever feel that when you walk in Central Avenue? Please, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you come back and you say, Yetzer HaTov. And you're going to take out your Yetzer HaTov gun, and you're going to shoot the Yetzer Hara and say, I succeeded in passing by the church. I didn't go into the church, even though I wanted to go very badly. No, the feeling is, Fech. Fech. My Yeshli Imzah. What do I have an inyan with this? Well, Chazal say you shouldn't say, yeah, you should say, Efshi, I want the piece of Chazah, but what can I do? I have to over. That's all Chitzanias. Those are the. You have to always make sure to distinguish between when Chazal was speaking to Adam HaChitzoni and Adam HaPnimi. HaYudi HaAmiti HaYudi HaChitzoni. That's all HaChitzoni is. The Pnimi is the same way you feel that you can't go into a church. Not because somebody has to come along and say to you, fight against your Yetzirah. You have a Taiva right now, right? You want to go into the church. You want to go daven in there. You have a big Taiva to go to bring the sacraments and to put a piece of matzah on the Avodah Zarah or something. You have a Taiva like that? No, it's Bechlan, not my world. It's not my world. It's not part of my. It's not part of who I am. A Jew is a chelik l'kamimal. It's an efshel kiss. It's a shtik l'kus. So of course, and you feel that when you're passing the church, you feel I'm a piece of elokus. I don't have a shaykhis to this. So, but it's the same thing when it would come to something on the telephone, something on the computer. It's not the same thing. Why isn't it the same thing? No, it's the difference in yesh and ayin. When it comes to Devar Azaris, that a person has already there, he's come to a place of absolute clarity. It's pushing. That's not I'm a Jew, and that's not for Jews. But when it comes to other things that are not that, so I'm a Jew. However, Jews I know also, I also have Jews that I know that do this. And you start to go into that place. And anyway, there's only for tzaddikim to stay away from these things. Then you start to get into the whole thing. But when you're passing by the church, then it's clear, Ani Hashem. I'm Hashem. Who am I? Hashem. Who am I? I'm a Jew. This is not a place for. I don't go into such places. And the same parent who couldn't care less with the kids watching on the computer, the telephone, if that kid says, hey, Ma, and the kid starts to run up the chairs of the stairs of this church, every single lady in this neighborhood, whether she's wearing a sheitel or she has her hair uncovered or she's wearing a bikini on Central Avenue, if that kid's running up the steps going to the church, that mother's going to dive for the kid and pull him by his feet, right? Because Ani Hashem. But that same kid could be watching anything, or the mother can go with him with her bathing suit and the kid onto the beach, and the kid's mind is being completely destroyed by what he's seeing, and she doesn't feel Ani Hashem over there. But it's the same Ani Hashem. So no, what we have to do is we have to make a wall that no Jew should be able to get onto a beach. So we have to build walls. Just like I said, we have to also, every single Nekeva, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be impolite, every single Nekeva should really walk around like some of these crazy people in Yerushalayim with a burqa. They have to wear a burqa. And every one of you, we hope next Friday, will come with the Erev Shabbos. Please, you can get, I'm sure you can go to Yerushalayim this week, I don't think the case. Or you can go maybe to Atlantic Avenue, buy from the Yishmaelim. You can get burqas over there, I'm sure, half price. If you're a Jew, they'll give it to you for half price. And you get a burqa and come in here. So us Zecharim don't have to deal with the Nekevas. That's what Darish meant. That's what it means to be a Jew, to be a Gibor. That's a Gibor. I put on a burqa so that's called a Gibor. No, that's called a pathetic weakness that we have in Golas. And that's very crazy and extreme, but it's a pathetic weakness. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis of Gevurah is, Ani Hashem. I'm a Yid. This is not Shaykh. I don't have an interest in this. It's not who I am. That's the tachlis of the word. That's what it means, Shemitah. Okay, to be continued.